Welcome to Create Your Bliss with Nika Annan, conversations with people whose life reflects their pursuit of their spiritual purpose in life. Today we are really lucky we have with us Helen Attridge. She's a founder and president of Academy of Leadership Coaching and NLP. She's a global leadership coach, a master certified coach, an NLP practitioner, and a wonderful complex human being. And Helen has just started a brand new Academy of Coaching. So Helen, please tell us about your new project. This is so wonderful.
Hi, Nika. Yes, great to be with you today. And Academy of Leadership Coaching and NLP is the new brand of Academy of Coaching and NLP. And I'm very excited to be launching our new brand in the international marketplace.
And so what's the vision of the new one? I know you have a really beautiful vision and mission that you have for this. That's been a lifetime, an adventurous and passionate lifetime of travel and global experience. So what's your big vision, Helen? What are you doing here? It's so exciting.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, having been around the coaching field for almost 20 years now, I got certified. I started coaching back in 1998. So it's been a wonderful, wonderful journey. And then having been training coaches for 10 years, both for another company and then with my own company for the last 6 years, what I really have, you know, been focusing on with this new brand and this new mission is to really build leaders in the coaching field around the world. So people who can come into our training programs here, whether it's from organizations or individuals who are just in major transition in their life, and really learn in a global community, a global learning environment from each other, and then be able to go back into their country, have this worldwide network, and be supported in creating their own ripple of change, whatever that looks like in their life, in their community, in their organization, in their country, and having a global impact.
That's really wonderful. And do you have, so you have people who come from all over the world, right? I know you've had people from Russia and Egypt, and you've worked in China, and you have work in Mexico, as well as many other countries that people come to, Israel.
Yes. Yes. When I first started training, I was training in Mexico, in China, here in the U.S., in Europe, and I've really focused the company to bring people here to the U.S. to do our international programs, although we are exploring right now partnering with a company in Europe and doing a winter intensive in Europe, which is very exciting. So what we're looking, what's really different about this brand and about this new version of our company is really the piece of bringing global people together. So we're letting go of doing our more local workshops and really focusing on bringing people from, you know, the Bay Area, all over the U.S. and all over the world together in one classroom. I really have a strong belief that that's our way to really make change in the world, is having people come into a global environment and be able to see each other human to human. And I really think that the coaching skills really allow people to connect at that very deep level. Last summer, we had 26 people in our class and 17 different cultures represented.
Oh, wow.
So it's a really amazing experience of just being able to coach people across age groups and professions and cultures. So that really deepens the skill set of the coaches in the classroom, and it really allows them to have a much bigger world vision in their coaching practice. And, you know, personally, living here in California, I really get to see, you know, Silicon Valley, it's filled with people from all different, I mean, if you're in the work environment in Silicon Valley, you're living in a global environment, you're working in a global environment, and training in China several times a year for the last 9 years, you know, the Chinese marketplace also is filled with many international people working there. So that ability to be able to listen to and connect with and really understand another human being without the story that you may have about their culture or who they are is extremely important in today's marketplace.
That's beautiful, and it brings up one of the core, not only competencies, but strengths and beauties of coaching, which is just to listen.
Yes, absolutely. It's I'm in the enrollment period right now for our summer intensives and some other coaching continuing education units classes that we're offering at the beginning of the year. But I'm getting a lot of calls from people around the world who are interested in our summer intensives. That's something that, from lawyers who are looking to change their, really move from law into something that they feel is, would be more fulfilling for them at this stage, to high-powered executives. And they come in with their background, and it's wonderful. They bring all of this life experience, all of these other skills. And I'm explaining to them what the coaching process really gives them. And that ability to really connect with another human being through using, one, the ICF, the International Coaching Federation's model, and really being able to listen and be with that person in a, and create a safe environment for them to feel that their coach is really present with them, and then blending in some really powerful neuro-linguistic programming techniques to be able to help the client understand how they may have set the software of their own brain and language patterns that they're using to themselves or others that are either supporting them creating the life that they want or not supporting them creating it. And then identifying any old programming that they may have from childhood that would really support them in reprogramming for what they want to create in the next level of their life. And then, of course, all of our students come in with a wealth of life experience and studies that they've had before they came into our classroom. And there's also space within that model to learn how to weave those skills into to support really their client in getting where they want to get to and creating the life that they want to create.
That's so beautiful. And I know that one of the unusual things that you do, and I experienced this, and it's really why I was so delighted to take the coaching training with you, Helen, was the combination of coaching and NLP, which is a really profound tool for transforming, like you said, updating and clearing out old software, old belief patterns, old ways of dealing with the world. And you know, I'd like to share how I actually met Helen was doing a specific exercise called the context exercise. And you wanted to explain that a little bit? It changed my life because it was really a clear way of saying, how do you prioritize and how do you bring core issues to the surface in a compassionate and clear way?
Yes, that's a really powerful NLP coaching technique where we're really working with identifying a particular context of your life. So whether it's your career or a change you want to make in your life, and then being able to really identify the criteria that are extremely important for you in making that change. So the coach works with somebody, an NLP coach works with somebody, to identify and really specifically identify the context area. So it's really clear for the brain to be able to go, okay, that's where we're focused. What's really important here, and then having the client write down all of the different things that is important to them, all of the values that are associated with this change that they want to make, and then being able to go through and really put them in order, be able to prioritize them as to what's the most important. And as the client works with the coach to identify what's really important to them, it helps them get clear about that change. So it's really beginning to work with the brain and the values and what we call in our coach program, the inner alignment model, align the client to align unconsciously within their brain the change that they're wanting to make with who they want to be, with the values at a heart level that are really important to them, align them to be able to connect at a much deeper level with making that change. And I know that was really powerful for you at that conference that we met at, Nika.
It was an amazing experience both to go through it myself and then to watch how, as a coach, what an incredible tool it was to have insights into people's inner conflicts or issues or unresolved places or blind spots. It's a beautiful gift.
Yes, and it's really, really powerful in an ongoing coaching relationship with someone to just be able to bring them back to those values. You know, typically a coaching relationship works for, you know, you work with a client over a period of 6 months. You know, I've worked with people up to a year, 18 months, when they're wanting to make big, big changes in their life. And, you know, those kind of key pieces about their values and what's really important to them and their beliefs are really important for the coach to hold, so that the client starts to move off track, the coach can remind them of what's really important, so they can begin to reconnect back into their process and their vision and what's really important. So, I mean, I often use, I mean, you've heard this in the coach training programs, that coaching is taking off on a journey with someone. And it's a very conscious journey. Together you decide where the client wants to go to. So say they're traveling from New Mexico to New York, and they have a certain time within that they want to arrive at that destination. And it's like getting in a car with someone. The client is always in the driver's seat of their own life. The coach is in the passenger seat, because they will be getting out of the car at some point and letting the client move on with their life. And that very conscious relationship that is built between coach and client is about identifying where the client wants to go to, why they want to get there, you know, what it's what that future vision environment is like for them. And of course, using NLP techniques to really assist the client in getting clear on a visual, auditory, kinesthetic level. You know, what does it look like? What does it sound like? What are they saying to people when they're there? How, what are other people saying to them? What does it feel like? So really being able to anchor it into their neurological system, what it is that they really, really want. So as they can begin to really get why it's important to move there. And a lot of the work that is done in the coaching relationship is bringing the client back into alignment with what's important to them. So that particular technique that you brought up is a very important technique in regards to anchoring, you know, really supporting the client in getting why it is they want to make this change. And it can be, you know, I mean, I worked with somebody this summer, a very high-powered executive, and he was looking at, you know, a big change that he wanted to make in his life. So one of the things that was important to him when he looked at the destination he wanted to arrive at was really being able to have the next 10 years be really focused on his kids, so as his children would really remember that relationship with him. And that as he moved further out into his life, that he could look back and say, you know, I had beautiful kids and I had a great relationship with them. And as they moved out into their own life, that he would be a model for something different than somebody who was working 60, 70 hours a week that they never saw. So it was a very important piece for him that I'm sure he will keep coming back to as he moves forward on his journey.
And it's wonderful because coaching gives you the vision to do that and the understanding, but NLP is very deeply useful tool because it helps us work with our brain and, like you said, our previous condition, our understanding, some of our habitual behaviors, and really shift it. And it shifts very quickly. It's an astonishing process.
It is. It is, Anika, because the brain is really, you know, the brain, most people spend more time learning how to program their latest iPhone. You know, with music, everything else that they want in there, or their new iPad or their new computer, then they do learning how to process their own brain. And the brain is very similar. It's carrying old software. It's carrying old software from when we were children. Most beliefs that we take on about who we are programmed in before we're 7 years old. It's also gathering information. It's like if we have an environment in high school where we feel not loved or not accepted or we don't fit in, you know, our brain can get set on gathering all of the ways that we don't belong, that we don't fit in. And what starts off as one experience can become a three-legged stool and eventually a banquet table for, let's see, 250 people.
Right,
Based upon our brain gathering information about that. So the power of working with a coach who has that neurolinguistic programming experience is really that they are trained to listen for those types of beliefs and that type of story, so as they can actually begin to support the client in shifting that story and shifting that belief. And there are many really powerful coaching tools and NLP techniques that really support that change happening. I've worked with clients, and I remember a client I worked with maybe 6 or 7 years ago. He was in a major transition in his life, and we were working through a belief that he did not deserve to have what he wanted in life. Mm-hmm. And that, in order to make this change, he kept hitting up against a different variation of the same story. And we actually did a four-step limiting belief change with him, which starts with identifying what the limiting belief is, getting really clear on what it is. And then it works with identifying the positive intention of that belief and how it served you in your life, because every belief serves you in some way or has served you in some way. Otherwise, you wouldn't have held on to it. You reach a certain stage in your life where it begins to not serve you. And you can begin to identify, if you continue in this way, that you're not going to be able to create what you want in the next stage of your life. So in this particular client's life, he identified that him not feeling like he belonged had him overwork in different environments that he'd been in, giving up his life for work in order to prove himself and show that he did deserve. And it had, he was 30 years old, and he had a very, very dynamic career and was the top of his career. So it had served him mm-hmm. in getting him to where he wanted to get to in order to have the next stage of his life, which was to have a partner and have a family and be able to feel that he really belonged and really fitted in his life and his environment. He could really see that this belief was no longer going to serve him. And we began to do the work of using NLP to begin to disconnect his brain from looking at, if he continued with that belief, where he was going to end up, further down the track in his life, in his 50s, in his 60s, in his 70s. If he continued with his life, was that going to take him where he wanted to go to? Until he went and his brain went, no, 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 no. That's not where we want to go to. And then began to look at what was the life that he wanted to have? What was it that he really wanted to begin to create? And as he saw that, his brain was able to go, yes, and begin to start to align with the life that he wanted. And then we began to work with what would be the belief and what would be the story that would create that life. And he identified, I deserve to have what I want in life. I deserve to have an abundant, joyful life. I can't remember the exact belief, but it was something along those lines. And, as a coach, then you're working with the client to make sure moving forward that the choices that he's making are aligning with that belief. So we continued to work together over the course of another, I think, 4 or 5 months. And then he had successfully transitioned career and was in a new relationship, feeling in a really good space in his life. And I didn't hear from him for a while. And then about a year later, he called me up and he said, Helen, I was tidying up my bedroom today, and I found this little picture frame. And in it, it said, I deserve to have what I want in life. And I thought, this must have been something I did from my coaching relationship. And I wanted to ask you, what did I believe that was different to that? I couldn't remember.
That's wonderful.
His brain had completely erased the old belief. And he was like, I looked at it and I thought, what did I believe that was different to that? So it was like a year and a half down the track, he had actually, moved completely beyond that to where his brain couldn't recognize anything different. And that's the power of being able to reprogram your own brain. It's like you're installing new software that allows you to begin to create what you want in your life, and that there's a part of your brain, the activating system, that actually filters if you have an old belief that you don't deserve to have what you want in life, your brain's unconsciously filtering for all the ways that you don't deserve. See, there's another example if you don't deserve. There's another example and another example. And if you have a belief that you do, it all begins to create the opposite experience. So it's a very simple processes that are very, very powerful in regards to creating the life that you want. So for listeners, it's very simply looking at what am I creating today? What am I creating in my life? Is it what I want or what I don't want? If it's not the life that I want, if it's not a life that I love to wake up to and feel joyful and fulfilled in, what old stories am I telling myself about what's possible for me or not possible for me? And is that ultimately going to get me where I want to go to in the next stage of my life? I think that's and then what is that stage of my life that I want to move into? What is that vision? Where do I want to be 5 years, 10 years, 15 years from now? Who is that person? Who do I really want to be? And that's a belief change process. We also have a lot of very simple tools of just listening to people's language and reflecting it back to them where they can go, no, did I say that? No, that's not quite right. And I know from my own process of being around the coaching field for, like I said, almost 20 years, and training thousands of people around the world, as well as coaching clients and mentoring coaches on their journey, that as coaches really grow in their life, I mean, one of the things that I think about that happens to people when they go through our coach training program is an extreme deep level of personal transformation that they're not expecting, because most of them come in there to learn about coaching and get a certificate. But because we teach in a very holistic manner, people receive the equivalent of about 6 months of intensive coaching inside a 3-week period. So they've actually reprogrammed their whole system while they're in the coach training program, and they've actually got a really clear vision of where they want to go to. So it's very, very powerful in regards to really being able to create that life that they want, as well as being able to understand the power of coaching and how that can really impact their clients' lives.
And I think having had that experience of doing the personal transformation, which I can attest to, you also then have tools. Not only do you, because I think for some people it's a challenge to even know what they really want.
Yes, I agree. I agree. And a lot of that can be old programming, right? But it's not even possible. So if I'm working with a client who's like, what do I really, really want? I don't know. I know I don't want what I have.
Right. And how do I,
Yeah. It's like I'm immediately alerted to the fact that somewhere in their old programming, they've been deeply programmed not even to have a dream, even to have a dream of where they want to go to. So there's been some old story that they've been told. And some of it's culture. I mean, I work with a lot of different cultures, and some of it's a cultural piece. Mm-hmm. Some of it's a parental piece. Some of it comes from schooling, from religion. You know, there's all these different ways that we are unconsciously programmed. I mean, here in the U.S., especially in California, but right. I think all over the U.S., and I see it all over the world now, actually. I can stand in the checkout line of a supermarket, and I'm looking at a ton of magazines with women on it that are slim and beautiful and bikinis and all this stuff about lose 10 pounds, lose this or that.
Right, right.
And it's a very unconscious way that we're being programmed to believe that we're not enough the way we are. If we're not that weight, if we haven't lost those 10 pounds or whatever, there's something wrong with us.
Yeah.
And yet I can go down to Mexico. I was recently in Mexico a few months ago, and I was noticing in Mexico when I'm down there that Women are all kinds of voluptuous sizes, and they're in mini skirts and tops, you know, and they are living joy of life.
Yes, yeah.
It's like they are like sexy and having fun, and they're just doing it, you know, because they're not carrying that programming. You come back to the U.S. and you find someone like that, they're usually not in the tight outfit, in the mini skirt, because they're holding a different programming.
Right.
And it's as simple as that.
And it's so amazing to have those experiences and then have the tools to make the change, figure out what you want, and then have the tools to make the change. And something that you mentioned briefly, but that I think is an extraordinary, powerful tool. And one time in doing the belief change, I found a belief, and the basic belief for me had been shaped when I was 3 years old and I found out my father had terminal cancer. And I had built this whole very rickety construction on how a three-year-old responds to knowing that,
mm-hmm.
which worked great for the three-year-old, wasn't particularly applicable for the person in their 50s.
Yes. Yes.
But to say thank you and ask what the gift, I got to be 50. Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's these incredible gifts from the old beliefs. So you're not dishonoring yourself or tearing a part of yourself out or self-criticizing. You know, there are in coaching and in especially in NLP, there's no failure. There's just feedback. There's just process and understanding. And I think that's one of the extraordinary tools it has.
Yes, yes. What you're talking about there is that positive intention piece. You know, the
yes.
belief was developed. It had a very positive intention when it was developed for you. And it really supported you in coming through, I'm sure, a really challenging and hard, painful time in your life. And, you know, so there was a place where it really served you. And that recognizing the positive intention, being grateful for the support at that time, and then being able to go, you know, this isn't supporting me now as a 50-year-old woman. It's not really going to get me where I want to go in the next stage of my life. But thank you. Thank you for taking care of my three-year-old self. And, you know, now what's next for me in my career, in my life, and in my human journey?
And it's so wonderful to have those tools to work with oneself, but also to work with one's clients, because when they hit those really, you know, in the process of clearing stuff up or trying to change beliefs or trying to do the reprogramming, the assumption that all of that was created with positive intention is so freeing and healing and gives you fortitude and gives the clients fortitude.
Yes. Yes, it's so true. I mean, I can attest to that from my own personal journey. You know, growing up in Northern Ireland in Belfast, when I grew up there, it was not an easy place to grow up, and I definitely got built in a lot of survivor techniques and kind of a toughness to myself that helped me survive my teenage years there. And as I moved on and developed and moved around the world, you know, for several years, I left Ireland when I was 17, so I moved around as a wild kind of spirit for a while, and then slowly realized as I lived in different cultures and mixed with different people that I didn't need that armor, I didn't need that old programming anymore. And, you know, just moving through life's journey and then meeting people and doing personal development work that allowed me to unpeel the old beliefs, the old story, the old patterns that were no longer serving me in being who I wanted to be or doing what I wanted to do, and actually really helping me clarify that I could create a life that I love to wake up to, that I could be whoever I wanted to be in the world and do whatever I wanted to do, was a very powerful part of my own journey. And, you know, I still remember when I went through my own coach training program back in 1998, 99, you know, I remember standing in the classroom and looking out the window and were really looking into this amazing life that I could create for myself and going, wow, you know? And it was like some part of me that knew that had forgotten, you know, had really forgotten in the survival, in the moving around, in the adventure, in all of the different ways that I had created in my own life to move through life. You know, I had a lot of adventures. I was in a lot of countries. I did a lot of wild things. So I had some places within myself that knew that I could create whatever adventure I wanted. But I didn't have a place that could be like, I could have a home. I could have it all, you know. I could have some different ways that I could really create my life. So that was a really powerful, powerful experience for me in my own life. And I was 30 then. So what's evolved in the last 20 years for me from that has been just amazing.
Well, and I think that it continues to evolve, which is the other really exciting thing about coaching, is that it's not, you don't set a goal and then you get there and then life goes into stasis, because we are living organisms and we can keep creating. And we find as we achieve something that then it opens up to wanting more or to desiring more, to knowing we have more to give.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. If I look back to the first, you know, vision I had for myself when I was in coach training, my 5-year plan or something.
Right.
It was at that time too. I had come back from sailing across the Pacific in a little 30-foot sailboat, and which was a wild adventure for a year and a half, living in the islands and just living off the land, living off the ocean. It was a really unique experience. I had come back from that thinking that I would coach, and had created this whole plan with my husband at the time that we would buy a big boat and start again, you know, and do a around the world trip and do all this different pieces of that. And as I evolved over that 5-year journey and I got more and more into the field and I had an opportunity to work with Tony Robbins and learn from Tony Robbins, and that's where I first got introduced to NLP, and I began to rewire different parts of my internal system, I realized that I had a huge value around freedom, huge. Mm-hmm. And that began to shift, and it was not that I still value freedom, don't get me wrong,
but
it wasn't my driver anymore. As my system began to rewire, I saw that I really wanted to contribute, but I felt that I had gifts that I wanted to give back to the world. So it no longer meant leaving where I was and leaving my community and leaving the amazing work that I was doing in order to get that freedom. It became more in balance, and it became more aligned with, you know, a bigger vision for myself and my life and my mission and ways that I wanted to contribute. So the 5-year plan shifted dramatically from when I made the plan to as I got coaching and I was in my journey over those 5 years to where I was 5 years later. It was an incredibly different journey, and one that was much more internally aligned with a mission, with a life that I really loved, with whole pieces of my life, rather than just chunks or things that were driven by old behaviors or fears.
Well, it's very interesting because as a young woman in my 20s, I really made this intellectual decision and emotional decision that I was not going to make choices out of fear. And I think that's the time some of the original NLP stuff came out, and I was so delighted to find it because I suddenly realized after a while into that, I didn't know what to make choices out of. Mm-hmm. You know, if I wasn't in a state of fear, so I got that part, like I don't need to do that anymore, but it was like, now what do I do? What can I do? How? And so, I mean, doing some reframing and stuff and also realizing that what was the strongest driver for me was love. Choose what makes you not distractedly happy, but deeply happy.
Yes, yes. And I think that's the piece that, you know, is related to what you said earlier about people coming in not really knowing what they really, really want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like because I've been operating from one space, then they shift to another. It opens up another kind of space within them. And then that opens up another level of what do I really, really want? You know, so it's kind of like an onion and you're peeling back the layers to get to the core, the essence, the authentic self, and being able to create a life from that authenticity and that space of deep love for yourself, for your life, for what you want to create. And deserving, you know, self-love and right. deserving of what it is that you want to create. And knowing that life's going to give you its own lessons and journeys along the way. I think I mentioned to you, Nika, when you were asking me about doing this interview, that I had recently been interviewed by a young woman from Shanghai. And she had mentioned to me about, she was doing a series on entrepreneurs, successful entrepreneurs, who are creating global change. And she had mentioned to me that, you know, what's the biggest like regret you have in your business? What's the biggest mistake you've made? Mm-hmm. And I really had to stop and think, like, what is the biggest, well, and then I realized that, you know, I really don't look at things like their mistakes. You know, if I did, I would have stopped a long time ago.
Right.
But I actually don't look at them like that because of the NLP presuppositions that I got introduced to, you know, 15, 18 years ago, that were really, there is no mistakes, only lessons, no failure, only feedback.
Mm-hmm.
So I really view that, okay, what's, when I do something that doesn't feel right, okay, what's the feedback for me here? And what's the lesson for me here? And how do I make sure that it's not repeated again? Because life does repeat those lessons in various forms until we get them.
Right, until we let go of them. They're like, here, remember me? Yes.
We don't need to worry about right. if we're going to get it or not, because it's going to show up again in another form. It's like, oh, I didn't get that yet. You know, so I'm really viewing as that space of, you know, I don't have spaces where I go, that was a really big mistake. I really screwed up. I don't allow myself to get stuck there for too long. And being, you know, a successful coach, building a coaching practice, I've always had my own coach. Mm-hmm. And I know when I've stopped working with a coach, or my coach has been gone, or they haven't, you know, and I need a new coach, because I can feel myself move into places where it's like I'm not moving through. So it's the process of having a coach, you know, on and off over the last almost 20 years now, has really supported me in moving through stuck places in my own life and re-clarifying and re-identifying what it is that I want, and being able to work through when I do feel like something isn't going right. What's happening here? What's the learning for me? If this was the perfect situation, you know, what's perfect about this problem right now? And you know, what's not perfect yet? And what can I do to make it the way I want it? And, you know, what do I not want to do? And how can I have fun along the way in being able to shift and change this part of my business or my life that's, you know, not working the way I want it to work right now?
Well, yeah, because there's so many useful tools for making change. So you don't feel stuck in the need to berate yourself. It's like, oh, okay, how did I make that happen? And it's sort of like programming. Okay, that's not what I want it to do. How do I get it to do what I want it to do? Which is, I think, part of why it's so important to know what you want, what your vision is, what your soul's hunger is to create in the world, because then you sort of have a focusing and a measure to say, you know, that's interesting, but it's not in alignment. But you can go back and tweak it and work with it and revision it. And as you do that, because in any creative work, the fullness of the vision changes and opens. And as you integrate it, from my experience with the coaching training and then coaching people and being coached afterwards, has been this ongoing evolution and integration and coming together of parts of myself that I hadn't really realized were not really interacting well. And it's been a really fascinating process, but I feel that it's so exciting because you do have those tools. So you don't have to worry about, well, am I doing it right or wrong? It's like, well, where am I going? And okay, if I went, okay, so I took the long way around. I'm trying to get to that spot, and I went over the mountain instead of taking the shortcut through the valley by the river. maybe that worked for me.
Right.
Maybe I learned something being up on top of the mountain that I wouldn't have seen if I'd gone through the, you know, so it's a fascinating process, and I find it life enhancing.
Yes, yes. And people can get often stuck in, they have a goal and there's this certain way to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if they're not doing it that way, they're not going to get there, or they're not getting it right, or something's wrong or whatever. But the truth is that there's many different routes to any destination and any different goal that we have. And being able to, you know, have someone open that space for you, well, what are all the different ways that you can get here? And allowing you to explore those journeys, like just what you said, you know, it's like, oh, this was just a different way to get here. I didn't recognize that at the time.
And that maybe parts of the journey are important. Maybe parts of the journey help us develop skills, shape beliefs. You know, it's not just the goal, but also the whole way of getting there can be really beautiful.
Absolutely, absolutely. It opens up all kinds of experiences along the way. And I think, you know, I've been lucky to have a lot of really powerful mentors and people that I've learned from along the way. And having spent a few years working with Tony Robbins, like one thing that he, you know, used to say that really stuck with me is that, you know, most people stop before the light at the end of the tunnel. You know, they think, well, I'm not getting there, mm-hmm. you know, and they change their outcome. You know, they go, oh, I need to go somewhere else instead, you know, rather than, you know, just explore what's in the journey to that space. And that's always stayed with me. You know, it's like, where is it that you want to end up? And remembering that there's a journey to get there. You
know? Right.
Not to give up in the journey. And then another thing that he said that also stuck with me was that most people overestimate what they can do in a year and underestimate what they can do in 10 years.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it's like really that space too of we are on this path, we are on this journey, and we're in this experience around it. And it may take longer than what we think, but it doesn't mean that we're not still on the journey to get there, as long as we stay committed to whoever we want to be at that higher level, whoever we're stepping into, the life that we want to step into, who we want to be, what the mission purpose of that is, what's important at our heart level, the values that we want to live from. You know, it's the process to getting there is going to be in line with, you know, things that are happening in our life journey. And I mean, that's why, you know, I think the most powerful coaching relationships that I work with have been with people over a 6 to 18 month period, mm-hmm. where they've really got to move through all of the different processes that life shows up, you know, that life gives us along the way to where we're going to, so as they can really kind of arrive where they are and feel like I got here. You know, it's like I've moved through those changes and I've created the life that I really want.
And then to know that you can enjoy that.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's that brings to mind, Mika, you know, the leadership programs I've run in China the last few years, really going into classrooms and seeing really burnt out, tired leaders who are immensely successful at what they're doing. And you know, really financially successful, have reached in China, often coming from a very deep level of poverty into a huge level of wealth in their life, and really living a dream that, you know, their parents could never, ever have imagined. And yet looking around the room, as I sat in front of the room, at a group of people who are so incredibly exhausted and struggling so hard for what's next, you know, what's next in their business, what's next in their life, and just really being able to bring them home to themselves, you know, into their body, into their experience, reconnecting them to themselves and their values and what's really important, so as they can begin to enjoy the journey. Because a lot of the joy has gone for people at that high level of success. There's that life balance piece that an enjoyment of the journey that can get lost in the way. And I think that's one of the ways that coaches really serve leaders who want to play a big game in their life, is keeping them in totally in support of, you know, who they want to be, what's really important here, how do they live their mission in a way that really supports them in doing what they want to do in their life. I remember a couple of years ago teaching at Beijing University platform, and, you know, there was leaders there from all different walks of life, and there was one leader in particular who was, well, there were several leaders from the Communist Party, and one leader in particular was doing the exercise you talked about, identifying a context in their life and really aligning their values. And at the end of that particular day, he came up, in China we're taught through translators, so he came up with somebody who could translate for him. And he said, I need you to know that that value exercise totally changed my life. And he gave me a hug so hard that I really felt like my body was going to snap in two. And then he started crying.
Aww.
And he said, I will never see people the same way again because of this alignment that I've had with my values and what's really important to me. I will never see people the same way again. And to me, it was just so deeply touching to hear someone from the Communist Party in China, you know, say this, and in regards to their life and the people that they're working with. And that's the power of coaching. You know, that's the power of coach training, of coaching, of really creating that alignment in your life. And, you know, when people have just one little shift from a coaching process, it can change everything for them. Mm-hmm. So imagine how powerful a coaching relationship is over a period of time and creating change in your life. Or imagine how powerful, well, you know, the power of going through a coach training.
Oh, it's amazing.
You're really immersing yourself, as well as getting a credential that helps other people and helps teach you how to really do that work with other people. And I know, I mean, our one of our taglines for our business is create your ripple effect of change. I know that everybody who leaves our program leaves with that ability to go back into their life, and they touch their children, they touch their spouses, they touch the people they work with, they touch everyone that they come in contact with. They're creating a ripple of change. I just love that about this work. I just love the power of it. And then the clients, of course.
Well, and it creates a vocabulary so that people then... Because I think one of the complexities with beliefs is, as you were talking about earlier, some of them are cultural. So if we're trying to create a change, the more people that have these skills, that know how to look for values, that know how to do belief change, it creates a new language for discussing some of the issues that confront us in the world at this time.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, it does. And it's really that space of, you know, I mean, just at the leadership level, you know, leaders become leaders because they want to make a change. They want to have an impact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's important that they stay connected to their own values, to their own mission within that, and congruent with who they want to be and how they want to show up in order to really have that change in a way that supports them in their life and supports others around them in being... In playing that big game, right? You know, and then for any individual on a journey, any individual human being on a journey, it's really that space about, are you living your life in a way that is congruent and supports you and supports others around you and really allows you to live in a way that feels good for your being, as well as, you know, what you want to create in your life. I was recently having some blood work done at a health center in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
and you know, as I was talking to the doctor there, somebody went past the door screaming, and she ended up having a massive panic attack outside the doctor's door.
Oh, wow.
You know, when we called an ambulance, we were able to calm her down and put her in an ambulance. And I was talking with the doctor about it afterwards. And she said, you know, Helen, 90% of people who come here to have their blood work done are stressed out. Their body is stressed out way beyond what they actually can manage. And that's the source of all of these health issues. And she said, that's the time that we're living in. It's like, you know, there's so much pressure. And those pressures are caused often by beliefs about, you know, what they should be doing, how much money they need to be earning, you know, all of this different kind of bliss that's programming them at such a high level that's creating so much stress in the human body.
And the lack of things that we usually use to feed ourselves that we have over millennia, which is, you know, community, interaction, grounding, you know, walking on the planet, seeing the stars, seeing the natural world, and being with ourselves and with what's there. And I think that the listening that coaching teaches is not just between people, you know, that it, that you can use that, as they say, level three listening, which is really hearing, you know, to listen to the heartbeat of the planet and what's going on around us and really being present. You know, it's another way of being present, but it's engaged.
Yes, yes, it's so true. I was talking yesterday to a therapist who's considered doing, a retired therapist who's considered doing our summer intensive, and he was talking about, you know, how, you know, in his career as a therapist, he felt tired from trying to support people from working through, you know, really complex issues. And that, you know, so there was a part of him that was resistant to going back into career where, you know, he was holding some belief that, you know, a lot of people can't change. Mm-hmm. And also that, you know, did he really want to do that? You know, he was kind of focused on his meditation practice. And as I was listening to him, you know, I was thinking, you know, it's like a, it's a viewpoint that people have about coaching, that it's a lot of work. And you and I both know that when you're really present with someone, a lot of the work unfolds at that level three level. And I said to him, you know, it's really interesting because, you know, coaching is a very natural process when it's done at the level of mastery, right? You know, when you're really kind of understanding that being with someone in the present moment, the questions are naturally going to arise. There's going to naturally be things that will pop in from your coaching tool set. You'll hear a story. You'll begin to work with the client about what the belief is or, you know, what was the positive intention of it. So there's a way that it naturally comes in. And it does come from, I mean, I know that some of my most powerful experiences with coaching have been when I've actually had to affirm to myself, like when I first went to teach in China, and I knew nothing about the culture. Even the whole body language, you know, the way that someone stood, the way that they looked at me was completely different to working anywhere else. And then the fact that I couldn't understand what they were saying, I was completely dependent on my translator translating correctly what they said and getting the words right so as I could really be in that coaching experience with them. And I had to say to myself, you know, I don't know. I really don't know what's going on with this person. All I can do is be present with them and really be at that level three place of being in this intuitive zone with them where I'm really, really deeply listening to even the blink of their eyelashes, you know, the beat of their heart as I'm standing next to them, just really being in that moment with them. And align myself when I really am in that place, if I don't know, I'm not making up a story about what they need or what I need to do for them. And in that place of presence, the whole session naturally unfolds. You know, and I've coached a lot of people by phone with a translator in China. Actually, I'm not doing that anymore, but I did the first 3 years that I was going to China. And I would be amazed at just in that space of holding that presence and that quality with them, that, you know, there would really be that way in which there is a really a deep human-to-human connection, that no matter what color, what culture, what age, what difference, that at the end of the day, here's two humans having this experience, and are we really able to be presence? And for me, coaching is a form of meditation and presence with my client. It's a deep form of really being here in this moment and not allowing myself to get into a story about what is up for them or what I should fix for them, but rather being with them and what they're saying to me moment to moment and really what is their story what is the story they're telling themselves? What is it that they want to create? What is it that they're creating? And how do I be with that and support them in moving through that, through my presence, my questioning, and of course some very powerful coaching and NLP techniques that I have to support that too.
And that's such a powerful experience, and it's such a powerful and gentle way to be in the world. And it's the it allows things to unfold at very, very deep levels.
Yes, yes, it does.
And it's extraordinary, and it's a life enhancing skill, and it's very powerful. And there's a saying that you have, I see you.
Yes, that's it's called positive sponsorship, the messages that we do in the coaching course. Mm-hmm. Again, that model was developed initially by Robert Dills, and we've adapted it slightly, but what it is really giving our clients through conscious or unconscious messages the ability to really know that they're seen, that they are, you know, that they have special and unique gifts, mm-hmm. that they have something important to contribute, because every human being who comes through on this journey does have something important to contribute. They do have unique and special gifts, and really letting them know that they belong, that they're an important part, which in the coaching model is messages that we should always be holding with our client, letting our client know that we see them, that we believe in them, that we believe in their dreams, that their vision for their life, that we know that they have unique gifts, and that we know they have something really important to contribute, and that we want to support them on that journey. And that's one of the most key kind of pieces of a coaching relationship. And it's really allowing people who've received those negative programming or negative sponsorship messages back on their timeline of when they walk into a room, they don't feel seen as a child. They're not valued for the unique and special gifts that they have. Instead, their parents want them to have other gifts, to do other things, or they want them to show up a different way, so they get that they don't. They're not special. They don't have special gifts. That they don't know what they want to contribute, because maybe their parent has a program for them that they should go and get a master's degree and they should become a doctor. And so they're very lost in what did they actually want? You know, what was their actual dreams? So a big part of the coaching relationship is really bringing people back to, you know, identifying what are their own gifts, what do they want to create for themselves beyond the programming of what they've been told they should create or they need to create.
And that their vision is valid and accurate.
Yeah.
You know, and that it's for them. They don't need to live anybody else's dream, anybody else's world, anybody else's role, but that what they're here to do is good and right and what they need to do. It's a very wonderful experience to go through this group experience where everyone is seeing and honoring that in each other.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. It's I think that's one of the most powerful exercises that people can do with each other, that really kind of brings them back into that human to human connection. I think I mentioned to you last summer when we had that large group of 17 different cultures in the classroom, mm-hmm. One of the mothers of our student, a younger student, a woman in her late 20s who was working in Cairo in Egypt, came into the classroom to see the graduation at the end. And our graduations at the end of the coach training are always very emotional.
Right.
A lot of crying, a lot of goodbyes. I'm sure you remember that from your training. And it requires me as the trainer to let go and just let people have the
right.
process and say their goodbyes and not try to stick to a time schedule or cut people off. So I noticed that the mother of this young woman was sitting out in the garden, and it was getting very windy, and I thought, oh, she's going to freeze if I leave her out there while this process goes on. So I asked the class if it was okay if we'd bring her into the classroom. And she came in and she watched her daughter graduate as well as with everybody else of all different age groups, all different lives and walks of life. And as they said their goodbye to each other and cried and thanked each other, and she watched this whole process. And then afterwards, she went to the bathroom. She came back in as everybody was closing, and she said to me, you know, Helen, I am so deeply, deeply touched by this work. I came to the U.S. in absolute distress about what's going on in my country.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching the TV, and I was seeing how what's happening in Egypt is being really misrepresented on American TV, and she said, it's deeply disturbing to me that it's being portrayed in this way. I was feeling in a state of hopelessness and despair, and coming into this classroom has really, really given me hope. And she said, I think the only way we can bring about peace in the world is by creating these types of experiences where people see each other human to human. And that was incredibly powerful for me, Nika, to hear that, because growing up in Belfast in a war zone, that's very deeply my belief too,
mm-hmm.
is that, you know, I grew up seeing firsthand what happens when people don't see each other human to human, how that lack of human to human connection can have someone go place a bomb in a hotel on Christmas Eve and blow up, you know, 20 innocent people who were celebrating the Christmas holidays. That takes a deep level of disconnection from each other as humans to do something like that. And
yes.
I believe that, you know, through coaching, through leadership trainings that really connect people into that human-to-human connection across cultures, we can inspire the best in each other. We can inspire the best in our teams. We can inspire the best in our community. We can inspire the best in our friendships, and we can really support change at a very core, grassroots level.
And that's really your big vision, is to give people the tools to do that.
Yes, it is. It really is the mission, my personal mission, as well as the mission of Academy of Leadership Coaching and NLP, to develop, you know, leaders in the field of coaching and in the global organizations around the world that have this connection to themselves, this desire to create a life that they love, to live in alignment with their values, and to support others around them in doing that too.
And it's very beautiful, and it's a very powerful experience. So as we wind up, Helen, could you take just a minute, having gone so deeply, let's talk a little bit about when the class is, what it is, that you can get professional accreditation, credentialing through this. And
our next global program is coming up it starts on July 10th. It's in the San Francisco Bay Area at Dominican University. It will have students from around the world. It's a three-week intensive program, so you will be certified as an NLP coach at the end of it. This year's program is a residential program for those who wish to live in the residential setting, so we'll be able to sit down together and have meals and really connect at that deeper level. It starts on July 10th and finishes on August 2nd. There's 4 days off during the program, so for those who need to connect back into their work life or check in, they'll be able to do that on their days off, although often what happens is people go out in the global community exploring the Bay Area,
right,
having fun together and making lifelong friendships. But there is some time for those who feel that they'd really like to be doing that on their days off to really be in touch with the rest of their life. You know, that's designed in for that reason as well. And this year's program actually, you know, as I said, it includes residential, it includes somewhere to stay, it includes food, it includes 10 mentor sessions, and it
wow.
includes a year's worth of peer-to-peer coaching with 4 different coaches around the globe. So to really support you in having the experience of being coached over a year and coaching over a year and getting that supervision and feedback on your coaching skills. So as you continue to develop and really grow as a coach while you're in the process of changing your own life.
That's so wonderful. So I can highly recommend this. Helen's website is
www.nlp-leadership-coaching.com. nlp-leadership-coaching.com.
I want to thank you so much for talking to us, Helen. Your work is so inspiring and you do make ripples of change. And I love the new mission and the new vision. And it's so wonderful to watch people continue to evolve because there is that place of mentoring and modeling. So we see people who achieve and create and achieve and create and achieve and create and maintain their values. And I think that that's a deep human need as well. And I just want to thank you for doing what you do and sharing it in the world in such a beautiful way.
Thank you. Thank you, Nika. And thank you so much for this interview today and to connect with you at this level. It was a very sweet experience. Thank you.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Thank you so much.